McDonald's Lanky Grill Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Grill Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the world wide web
from a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
And welcome to another edition, episode, whatever you want to call it, of the Viking Roundball Podcast. It's presented by McDonald's. McDonald's, MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Episode number 65, if you're keeping track, due to the various legal parameters of our broadcast, we have to announce that. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Our executive producer.
We run a tight ship here.
Folks, we are professionalism at its finest. Alongside the head coach of the Vinton County Boys Basketball Vikings, I'm Carl Knox, Matt Coles. I'm Carl Knox. As we tape this little ditty on December the 12th, 2016. Appreciate everyone listening, wherever you are in the world, whatever you're doing. Coach Coles, so glad to see you.
Yep. Same here. Having a good day. How about you?
It's Monday. It's my favorite day of the week, you know. I mean, it's not only is it Monday, but then I get a deal with you.
Oh, yes. That just
that ices the cake.
On top. Yeah.
Oh, boy. So we're off to a 2-0 start. Wins over Piketon.
Yeah.
Nice win you had there Friday night, December the 8th, over the Nelsonville York Buckeyes, 69-48. We'll be talking about that in just a second. Kind of have a short podcast this week, but we do have a – I mean, we knocked down some serious barriers to get this guy back.
Yes.
We couldn't get his agent to let him come in studio because his entourage is so massive.
I can only imagine.
No, but I mean, you'd be proud of me. We had a lot of people working on this probably the past month.
Yeah,
Troy Bolin, also known as 93 Bulldog on Southeastern Ohio Preps, and he also happens to be the sports director for WXDQ and WATH in Athens, does a nice sports talk show over there, does a good job. And Troy Bolin, I would sum him up, if you're not a big fan of the Athens Bulldogs, he's probably the kind of guy you would dislike the most. He's like Super Bulldog. And, of course, you have a big, big TBC Ohio match game tomorrow night over at the McAfee Gymnasium. And we're going to have Troy here shortly to do a phone interview.
And yeah, he'll Troy always brings some sheds some light on the Bulldogs early in the year and kind of lets fans know, you know, what to expect. And like you say, now that he's does that sports talk over there, he really knows quite a bit about Athens County basketball a whole, but we'll focus, I'm sure, mostly on the Bulldogs since we play them tomorrow night.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Bulldogs, talk about the TVC Ohio if we want. We can even touch on the TVC hockey because their radio crew, they have actually I think two crews, and they do cover a lot of TVC hockey teams, which again we don't really run into throughout the regular season. But I forgot, and I apologize in advance to tell you to bring some hip waders, because normally when Troy, you know, it's going to get deep.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, because I think he's going to,
which that fits right into the theme of the show typically.
Yes, but I mean it's usually ankle deep. Talking, it might be like waist deep by the time you get out of here. We're going to have this entire studio scrubbed, cleaned, and sterilized. Anyhow, that's coming up soon, so, you know, wait for it. It'll be something else. Let's get to Nelsonville. Actually, I missed the game. I did get to see the tape, but I had big family plans, and I was so psyched to go do them that I missed your game. But you went off two of them. Nelsonville did not have a freshman team, correct?
Or they? No, did? They did not. They did not have a freshman team, so we just had the JV and varsity, and both teams were able to get wins that night. Coach Carpenter, his team got another win, so they're off to a good start. And you know, our freshmen will be back in action tomorrow, and then we're also going to schedule some extra. I think right now we've scheduled one extra freshman game on Thursday, December 29th, at home against Circleville. So we're trying to get our freshmen a couple games there where they're missing some. But anyway, no, it was a good night for us. You know, we got off to, again, a pretty good start. That's kind of early on in the season here. That's been, even in the scrimmages and stuff, that's sort of been something that's been good to us is the start of games. Neither team really got going in the first couple minutes, but once we got going, we really kind of spurted out ahead there and was up, you know, I think maybe 20 to 5 or something.
20 to 4 or 20 to 5 after the first
quarter. Yeah, and that was most of that happened in the last 6 minutes of the quarter. Like I said, I don't think either team scored hardly in the first couple minutes, but no. So, you know, we got off to a pretty good start again, and yeah, that always helps.
Well, the final score, Vinton County 69, Nelsonville 48. Scoring by quarters, according to our statistician, Matt Combs, who moonlights in addition to being head coach on the stat sheet this year. Yeah, outscored them to 20-4 in the first quarter. 17-16, they had a little run, and I think you started rotating in some secondary level players in the second quarter. So it was 37-20 at the break, and then in the third quarter you outscored them 21-13. In the fourth quarter they outscored Vinton County 15-11 for the 69-48 final. As far as stats for the Vikings, you guys shoot 44% from the field. Beyond the arc, you were 9 of 29 for 31%. Only made it to the charity stripe 10 times, but shot 80% from there. In terms of other stats, impressive points off turnovers. Vinton County scores 23 second chance points, 21 points for second chance points for Vinton County, as opposed to 8 for Nelsonville. Points in the paint, Vinton County has 34 points to Nelsonville's 18. You had 18 assists, 7 steals, 9 blocks, 17 turnovers, as opposed to their 24 turnovers. I did notice looked as though really, Nelsonville had a difficult time playing with you guys in transition and in the break. They just didn't seem to be able to play as fast as you guys could. And I also was kind of impressed with the ball distribution of your starting five, just making that extra pass. It seems like they are starting to hit their groove as far as, you know, just that extra pass that really makes the offense go.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's probably the one thing I'm most proud of offensively, is just how well we're sharing the ball and how unselfish our kids are playing. I mean, that's not easy. You know, we have 3 or 4 guys there that could be the leading scorer on a lot of teams. I've said this before. I think, you know, they have to make sacrifices, and they have to understand that there's certain nights, you know, just like Tristan Bartow the other night. I mean, I think everybody's watched Tristan long enough to know, you know, kid averaged 20 points a game or so last year, close to. You know, he has 8 points the other night, but he has 8 assists, 8 rebounds. So, you know, he's putting in a
4 steals.
Yeah, 4 steals. I mean, he's doing a little bit of everything for us. And there's going to be nights he scores 20 points. There's going to be nights he does that. And I think him and Derek and Nalen especially, you know, have to understand that. And I think they do a pretty good job of that. We really shared the ball the other night. The ball, I thought, moved quickly. We did make that extra pass like you talk about a lot of times. And I think that's what makes us hard to guard. You know, when the ball sticks and we don't really, you know, and we sort of get stagnant and start watching one guy dribble or whatever, that's when we get ourselves into trouble. So, you know, like I said, I thought we played well offensively. Man, probably had a couple more turnovers than I would have liked. Obviously, you know, in the fourth quarter, we're playing some different combinations. So, you know, that leads to some of that too. Now, I give Nelsonville a lot of credit. You know, I thought they played really hard. I mean, they're off to a 2-1 start. I saw where they won on Saturday.
They beat Amanda Clear by like 1 or 2 points.
Yeah, and they're not, you know, they've got a couple nice players there. I thought we got off to such a quick start. It was hard for them, you know, to overcome that. It was a good win. Obviously, get off on the right foot in the TVC Ohio, and that's always important.
Individual stats for the Vikings against Nelsonville. Nalen Yates leads the maroon and white with 22 points. Derek Jones has 18. Jake Speakman has 7. Tristan Bartow with 8. Cameron Hammond has 4. Eli Griffith and Anthony Mendez both have 2, as does Nevin Yates with 2. Actually, only and then Bryce Dameron has 4 as well. Only what, three players on your entire roster that don't get in the scoring column. So everyone got some playing time, which right. I know that always bodes well for you guys as the season rolls along to make sure those reserve players, they get some playing minutes on the varsity court. So that being said, a good win as you guys start out 2-0, 1-0 in the TVC Ohio. And, you know, it's kind of an odd schedule this year. You guys jump right into the league. It doesn't seem, you know, only one non-league game, and then you got three league games in a row before kind of over the holidays we got some SVC stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I guess that's just sort of the way the league schedule works out. We you know, you end up playing some of your non-league games, it seems like, right around the holidays there. I think we play three or four. I think we play four straight non-league games. Yeah, this is over the break.
This is called the Matt Combs non-league schedule around the holidays. At Zane Trace, the 23rd, Southeastern at home, the 27th, and at Chillicothe on January
3rd. I think we have Jackson maybe the 6th, don't we? So we go four straight non-league games. Yeah. We have Jackson January
6th. And 5, 6th. You got Logan after Jackson.
Okay, so yeah, that's when you play the bulk of your non-league, and then you get back into league play there that second week of January. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to – you know, we played Friday, which is a little bit of a soft start to the season in terms of, like, scheduling, because some teams play like four times in 2 weeks. You know, we played a couple times, but we're going to start getting busy now Tuesday, Friday, pretty much every time.
Yep. You when we got Athens, we'll be talking about that, and then you're on the road on the 16th at Wellston. Then you got River Valley at home on the 20th, you know, at St. Trace 23rd, Southeastern over the, you know, the 27th, and at Chillicothe. That'll be a good game. Over I have never watched a game in that gymnasium.
Oh yeah, no. Yeah, we, as a matter of fact, well, I'll tell you what, we used to play. My second and third year here, we played sectional tournaments there.
Really?
Yeah,
it wasn't Logan. Yeah, well, no. Logan High School. Well, it was the Canadian.
Right, no, my first year here was South Webster. Then we played a couple years at Chillicothe, and then it started being at Logan. And it was it's been at Logan every other year except when they were in transition building the new school. They we had it at Wellston there for I think 2 years in a row. But But Chillicothe's got a nice facility over there, so it'll be something new. We haven't played them in the regular season.
Close to your house.
Yes, yes.
It's about
We'll make Coach Kite ride the bus that night. He enjoys that type of thing.
Any of our listeners don't realize we like to make light of the fact that Coach Combs, who lives in, I won't say Chillicothe, it's closer to Dayton, actually. It's like far west side of Ross County. Takes forever to get there. We just like to give him a little grief because, you know, a lot of these non-leagues, he gets SVC teams to take a whooping, and then he can be out of the gym, out of the school, on the phone with the beautiful wife and picking up dinner, and he can be home in his mink robe eating some Subway before, you know, really before the team makes it back to Londonderry.
Yes.
So
that's my goal.
Well, I know, you got your priorities. Drive time, food, then the kids. It's what's made you the staunch professional that you are. All right, by the way, I know you had a touch of the flu over the weekend. Everything, you back to normal?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, my whole family had it.
Yeah, it's Amy's fault.
I think we said it last week. My whole family had it, and I thought I was out of the woods on it. And it actually hit me just after lunch on Friday. And so I wasn't very good shape during the game on Friday, but luckily my guys picked me up a little bit, because I don't know that I was much of a contributor, but you know, stayed in bed on Saturday, got over it, so I think I'm okay.
Good deal. Back and better than ever. Thank you, Amy Combs, for infecting our coach. Nice. did you tell her?
Not yet.
I mean, I knew that, because I even watched, when I watched the tape, I see Amy down there with her dad.
Yeah.
And that tornado's walking around. He's back.
Oh, yeah.
So they're healthy.
Oh, he's back. All right.
And then, and you're down with the – I mean, why doesn't she control herself to the point that she doesn't infect you? This is the season.
I know.
Come on, Amy Combs. Straighten up.
One of those times when life interferes.
Yeah, well, when you got a wife like you got, you'll have that. Coming up next, we'll preview a big TVC Ohio throwdown coming up. Tomorrow night, December the 13th, at the MAC against first-year head coach Mickey Cozart and the Athens Bulldogs. We'll run down all the gruesome details about this game and who can downplay their team more, as we are joined by none other than WATH WXTQ Sports Director Troy Bolin. He's up next as the Viking Realm Ball Podcast rolls on. Back with the Viking Realm Ball Podcast presented by McDonald's. McDonald's and MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. Episode 65, tape date of December 12th, 2016. I'm Carl Knox alongside the Vikings head coach, Matt Combs, as we talk about games coming up and one that has been, at least in my mind, and I think anyone that's a staunch Benton County or Athens Bulldog fan that wouldn't think so as well, is coming up tomorrow, December 13th at the McAfee Gymnasium at the Athens High School. The Vikings at the Bulldogs, and there is no better Bulldog to bring in to give us a preview of this year's Athens basketball team than one of our best buddies in the whole wide world. We say that very loosely. The one and only Troy Bolin, sports director at WATH and WXTQ, joins us. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, pretty good. Just right in the middle of work, but, you know, I always have time to take off a few minutes to come on such a prestigious radio show as the Benton County Round Ball Podcast. I'm just a little disappointed that I didn't get to drive out to MacArthur and hang out there.
Well, you know, this interview took a lot of time to put together, and in the past month our people have been talking to your people about you actually making an appearance, but we didn't your people thought that with your security entourage we couldn't fit everybody into the padded room, so we had to do it via security.
Well, plus, I mean, I don't think you guys could have came up with enough money. My agent, he demands a lot, you know. That's why I pay him a high commission to get me the big dollars, so probably had a little bit to do with it as well.
You smell that, Coach? You know what I'm smelling? That bold doo-doo that's filling up our studio. Anyhow, seriously, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Big, big game tomorrow night. Last year, we kind of got the better end of you guys over at your place, and then you came over here and got the better end of us last year. First-year head coach Mickey Cozart takes over for Coach Jeff Skinner. I know he's got a son on the team, and of course, Griffin Lutz, after seeing some tape of him, it looks like he is back and better than ever. Just talk about the Bulldogs. In a way, I know they're got some size, got some youth, but got some big-time talent. Of course, you add Lutz to that equation, and you guys probably have a pretty optimistic view of the season coming up.
Oh, we have an optimistic year for sure. I wouldn't say we're really optimistic about tomorrow night. I mean, the Vikings are defending league champions, defending district champions, got most of their players back. So I'm not feeling great about tomorrow night, but I do feel better about the matchup this year more so than I did last year. Completely different teams. The Athens team you're going to see tomorrow night resembles nothing like what you watched last year. The young players, you might have got a glimpse of much better basketball players, the sophomores especially. Justin Hines and Logan Maxfield are nice ball players. And another young man named Eli Chubb, he's a 6'3 guy that came out of nowhere and scored 15 in our opener. These guys, Eli played JV last year, as did Justin. And personally, I think they probably could have played varsity, but they didn't. But now that they're on the varsity floor, it just seems like they've been there forever. They look very comfortable. And when you kind of mix that in with your superstar and Griffin Lutz, it really just makes you a completely different team.
Okay, a couple of questions on Coach Mickey Cozart. I've heard that he has spent quite a lot of time on the AAU circuit. He was a standout player, I think, back in your day over at Fed Hawk. What style of coaching, what do you see, what's kind of the nuances that you see from him as a coach that may differ from, say, Jeff Skinner?
Well, they're polar opposites. I mean, in every aspect, demeanor, coaching style, strategy, X's and O's, everything you can think of, you can take what Coach Skinner did at Athens, which he did great things, and still good friends with Coach Skinner today. But in terms of how they run a basketball team, you couldn't think of polar opposites. I think that'll be a little bit of a problem with some coaches early on, getting used to what Coach Cozart wants to do as opposed to what they've seen in the past from Athens. Now, once they get through the cycle of league games and play, you know, 8 or 9 games, and coaches are able to scout Athens and get some film on them, I'm sure it'll be much different. But I think in the early goings, I think that'd be the biggest challenge, is trying to figure out how Athens is different than in the years past. And I can tell you right now, they're completely different. He likes to press. They like to get up and down the floor. They like to run a lot. Of course, having 8- and 9-man bench helps out when you do that. Jeff never really had that luxury, but Coach Cozart does. But They like to push the pace. The first two games, I think, was 78 and 74 we scored in the two games versus Chesapeake and River Valley. So I think that's probably the biggest difference is you're going to see them want to push the basketball, push the tempo, which is a real far cry from what we've done in the past.
Yeah, as I've scouted them, Troy, obviously I've noticed that. They're pressing, they're running. You know, they've got a team that's probably built for that. You know, I think the one thing that you mentioned briefly, and I think people have to be aware of, is everybody knows who Lutz is, and most people, I think, know who Cozart is because he played a pretty solid role for them last year. Some of these other guys, I think some people don't know who they are, but I think people are going to find out because I think they've got some pretty good, solid kids that probably aren't household names throughout the league yet.
No, they're not, and I don't know if they will be this year, possibly, but when you have a kid like Griffin Lutz, he kind of steals the show from you. The other night at River Valley, he had 24 in a single quarter. Really, what's that?
Yeah, I saw it.
He's phenomenal, obviously. I mean, he's the type of guy that can carry you.
Yeah, what happens even as me, I'm trying to broadcast games, but as a fan, I can't take my eyes off Lutz. I mean, it's just a habit. If a kid dominates the ball, he's a point guard, and he's just so fantastic when he plays basketball. But you're right, the other guys around him, they're much better. I'm a big fan of Justin Hines. He's a 6'4 sophomore, and he's kind of a true post player. It's something we don't see much of anymore. Everybody wants to run wide-open offenses, but this young man loves to get on the block. He likes to score on the block. He bangs around. He's the heck of a football player, real strong defensive end type, kind of nasty on the football field. So those kind of players are the ones that I like the most. So I'm really liking what I see out of him. And the young man, Eli Chubb, I kind of like him as well. He's a kid that just kind of worked his way in, and I didn't even know he was starting, and he started the River Valley game. And adds another 6'3", 6'4 kid that can shoot three-pointers and rebound and do a lot of things for you.
Well, speaking of Lutz, I know it's been, you know, everyone's, he's D1 material, all of that. Has he signed anywhere? Has he, where's he looking to go next year?
I have the slightest idea. I rarely get into, I probably know as much as you do when it comes to kids and what they do postseason, obviously, like a Burrow or an Ibby Watson, you get all the publications, but I've never asked him, and I don't think right at this point he's getting any D1 offers, but don't quote me on that. I think a lot of the smaller colleges, of course, would be on them. Kingdoms and things like that. I'm sure he's gotten stacks and stacks of letters from those sizes of schools, but not that I know of that any D1 offers have come down. But it's still early in the season, and, of course, his injury last year probably set him back in that regard a little bit. But personally, I mean, I'd love to see him play right here at the Combo so I can keep watching him for 4 years. Absolutely. I don't know if he's tall enough to do that, but it'd be interesting.
Well, Troy, do you have any questions for Coach Combs? Like how bad we are this year?
Yeah, right. let's see.
Really weak at head coach.
Yeah. Let me see. Actually, I do have some questions for my broadcast tomorrow night. You know, you lose Albright. Who stepped into Albright's spot in the starting lineup?
Basically, Jake Speakman has stepped into that spot. You know, we... in a way, I mean, Nalen Yates came off our bench a lot last year, even though by minutes he was one of our starters. You know, we sort of took the NBA approach last year of bringing one of our starters off the bench in a way with Nalen.
Yeah, that's nice.
So Jake Speakman has kind of stepped into that spot for us. Played JV last year, but is you know, really done pretty well for us in the preseason this year. He's kind of given us a spark, and then of course we have a pretty young tandem of bigs in Bryce Dameron and
Eli Griffith,
even Cameron Heyman a little bit off the bench, but all three of those guys have decent size, but they've never played varsity before. So much like the Athens team, we have some experience mixed with some inexperienced, you know, some guys that I think are going to be good players, but they're, you know, they're still young. They're still trying to find their way a little bit. So, that's kind of where we're at. I think when you look at both of these teams, they both probably play a similar style. They both get up and down the floor. You know, it could be kind of a fun game probably for fans to watch if the tempo gets to a certain level. It's like any other game. It's going to come down to which team probably executes a little bit better. And and makes a few more shots. But
yeah, it sounds like, I mean, almost mirror images of each other. With of course, you got Bartow, which is just absolutely outstanding, and him and Lutz, similar size, similar style and play, and some youth in the front court. And of course, I mean, you guys are, like I said, defending champions, defending district champions. I mean, you got to be favored by like anywhere, what, 20 to 25. But you know, but we'll come out and play hard tomorrow. But let me ask you: if the tempo is getting pushed, do you like that? Would you want your guys to get out and run as well as Athens? I mean, because that would be extremely entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it is, I mean, we like to just. I think overall, you know, our kids like to play up tempo. I think most kids like to, you know what I mean? They want to run, they want to play. I think I've always felt like if you're going to be a really good team long term, you've got to be able to win a whole bunch of different styles of games. You know, you can't. I mean, that's the thing about our tournament run last year. We had a lot of those games were grinded out half court. You know, fist fights almost,
right?
Physical, you know, and you've got to be able to do that. You can't just say, well, this is how we play, because there's going to come a night where somebody else either plays that way better than you or gets you in a different style. And so I'd like to think, I hope that we can get to a point as a team where we can win different styles of games. But I think our kids like to play quick. I think our kids like to go. Most teams probably do. Some teams aren't good enough to do that, you know. And
right.
But I think Athens and Vinton County are probably two teams that are, when they're clicking, capable of playing that way.
Yeah, that makes for great basketball games. That's what I'm hoping for tomorrow night, that we get into the 70s and you guys can run up and down the court. And I'm always one just to like, I like to be entertained. I like great games. So I hope it's a great game. I don't want you guys to blow us out. That's not going to be fun.
That usually doesn't happen. It just seems like every time Vinton County and Athens get together, it's usually a good one.
Yeah, this has really turned into, probably in the last 6-7 years, Athens-Vinton County has turned into a respectful rivalry, but nonetheless a rivalry, and I think this season's going to be no exception to that, Troy.
Oh, when I view Vinton County as our Nelsonville York game in basketball, I mean, and football, I think it's the exact same. In my eyes, that's the game. Athens Vinton, to me, is just like the Buckeyes and Bulldogs on the gridiron. At least I think that way. I think everybody should think that way. I believe since Athens has come into the league, it's either been Athens or Vinton County that has won it, correct? I don't think anybody else has won the league, maybe a share of it.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, I'd have to go back. I know. Let's see, and back in, boy, that's a good question. I'd have to look at my, matter of fact, I have that right here, but, you know, we don't come unprepared.
One of Coach's statisticians is standing
by. I've actually got it on TriValleyConference.com on the history page, but I'm not in front of it.
Yeah, it's every 06, Alexander won the league back in 2006. Ever since then, it's been either the Bulldogs or the Vikings. So it has been a pretty classic, I guess, rivalry year to year.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes it so great. Hey. But I tell you, I mean, I do get a little, I crack up a little bit, because as soon as our season ends and we split, then I actually become a big Vinton County fan. I was cheering for you guys big time at the Combo. I had a seat there with the district board in the front row, and it was awesome. Your guys' run was terrific. I was hanging on every basket.
We've got
as much as I really want to win tomorrow night, and at the end, I still cheer for all the teams when it comes to tournament time.
Hey, speaking of the other teams, Troy, before we get you out of here, just your knowledge of the, not just the TVC Ohio, but the TVC Hocking. Give me a real quick rundown. Alexander, what do you see from them this year?
They're not as bad as you would think after losing so many great players. I watched them at the preview, and then we've called one of their games, and they're a little bit young. They got a couple young players, and Chase Harris is very good, and the Norris boy at point guard. They're a formidable foe for somebody. Personally, if you were to ask me, I think Athens and Vinton are a little bit above everybody this year. I think it probably will come down to those two teams. But if I was to pick a third-place team, I would probably circle Alexander.
Wellston, what do you think of them? Or have you?
I haven't seen him yet. I saw him a little bit at the preview. I like the little quick guard, Noel, I believe his name is.
Yes.
But I haven't seen him enough. I caught him at the preview, and of course you never can tell at the preview. Everybody mixes and matches, so I don't even know exactly who their starters are.
Okay. Nelsonville, we've already talked about them.
He saw River Valley.
Yeah, River Valley. What do you think of them?
If they would put Dovin Barger on the block, I would love him a lot more. The 6'6 guy never goes underneath the basket. He goes from three-point line to three-point line, and it can frustrate you as a fan thinking, why doesn't this guy go down and dominate the paint? He'd be one of the premier postmen in our league, but he doesn't go underneath the basket. And as so, they don't really have much height outside of him. We killed him on the boards, and, of course, Griffin had 34 points. That's really kind of
that kind of helps, too, yeah.
Yeah, it does help. Yeah. It became a 30-point blowout, mainly because he was on fire.
Ed Fry's back as the head coach of the Megs Marauders. They're off to a tough 0-4 start. Of course, they've played they've lost to Gallia Academy, lost to Warren Local, lost to Jackson, lost at Oak Hill. I know they lost a lot of seniors last year, but what do you see out of the Marauders?
Yeah, that was a little surprising, 0-4, but now that you just rattled off the opponents, maybe that doesn't seem so bad. I think the scores are what surprised me. They weren't
giving up a lot of points.
I know. Yeah. So I was a little surprised at that. I mean, you lose Caleb Sheets. I don't know if Bartram is even trying to play basketball. I didn't catch them at the preview either. I believe they have, I think, one of the Maddox kids back. Yeah, I'll be anxious to see them. Now, that's kind of a weird thing to think of. They're 0-4, but, again, they played very good opponents. Yeah, we'll see. I like Ed Fry, though. I like him as a coach. I like his demeanor. Yeah. On the sideline, he's kind of a fun guy to watch.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, when you stop and think about it, Jeff Skinner was a high-strung coach. Blaine Gabriel, he had some moments. He was pretty down-to-earth, and, Jim Kearns is very mellow. I don't know the new coach down at Wellston, but basically, with the exception of one nut that they have over at Vinton County, by and large, most of the coaches are pretty low-key guys.
Yeah, Mickey's really quiet. You won't hear him say much either.
Yeah.
And, of course, my girlfriend's dad had their game Saturday down in Maryland. We went down and watched it. And I told Mickey, the one referee doesn't take crap from anybody. Don't say anything. And I kind of laughed because I was like, well, don't worry about it because you never say anything anyway. Mickey's real laid back. And you're right. There are a lot of laid back coaches in the league. I think Kearns can get a little loud with his players, but not so much.
Yeah, not with the officials. Like now, you are calling the game tomorrow night on XTQ or ATH?
It'll be 970 WATH, and we'll do the Sports Fan Live at 6 o'clock and do that whole hour-long show from the gymnasium, and then we'll call the game at about 7:15, 7:30.
Pretty sure our crew of Jeff Thacker and Bob Griller will be doing their thing on 987 WYRO, the station down in Jackson. But nonetheless, I'm sure I'll have a chance to talk to you, maybe get an autograph, a picture, a photo op, something like that. Is it true that P. Floyd is going to be in attendance for this game?
Yeah, I always talk him into coming to these games. He wouldn't miss this one. I mean, he lives 15 minutes up the road. So, yeah, he'll be there tomorrow night. So it's always fun to have him in the house. He was there for the preview. He got to see all of us play one time around. Of course, like I said earlier, the preview is not very indicative of a team. It'll be nice having him there tomorrow night.
Okay. Well, hopefully no one gets hurt, no one gets ejected, and it's a good time.
Yeah, I don't know who the officials are for tomorrow night, but we always hope nobody gets ejected. The guy in the front row over at Benton at the JV game, that was hilarious.
Who's that guy? I don't know what his name was.
He didn't even make it to the varsity game.
He came back for the varsity game, I'm told.
In disguise.
He
put a wig on, a different shirt.
different hoodie. I don't know where he got the hoodie from.
That's the only guy in my lifetime I've ever seen get kicked out of a JV game. So that's a good story to tell.
Yeah, I've just got to figure out who it was. I don't know. Troy, appreciate you taking time out of your international multimedia broadcast superstardom schedule. Seriously.
No problem, man. I'll see you tomorrow night.
All right, take care. Troy Boland from WATH, WXTQ, who does a fantastic job over there. And, he knows the ins and outs. And hopefully... I think it's going to be a good game. I think anyone who I've seen it on preps, and Coach, if you read it on preps,
yes,
it's true.
It has to be true.
But everyone's saying, it's going to be a blowout. This is going to be a good game. I really think
they got a nice team. Lutz obviously is really good, and they've got some guys that go with him. And I think they're playing a different style of basketball, and like he said, and you got to handle their pressure. You can't turn the ball over, and. When they score in transition, they're really good. And from what I saw as I scouted them, they scored a lot in transition this weekend. So, we've got to do a good job of preventing that.
Well, yeah, and I think playing at the MAC, obviously that is a court where, to say home court advantage, it really is a kind of, I don't want to say a tough, it's a typical gym, but it's just, it's a hard place to play. And I think that, you know, how you guys start out could, and this sounds kind of rhetorical, but the start that Vinton County has or the start that Athens has, if one of the two teams jumps out big early, mm-hmm. I think that can really kind of change the complexion of the game. I can see just because of youthfulness on both teams that perhaps really having a big dynamic on how the rest of the game flows.
Yeah, I mean, you're always worried about the start. I mean, the start of the first, the start of the third, those just seem to be crucial times in games. So, yeah, I mean, no doubt that's important.
Yeah, but, you know, to on the opposite side, like Magic Johnson once said, the start is important, but the most important thing is who scores the most points by the end of the game.
That's wise. Very wise.
Only from Magic Johnson. Well, I know you got practice. You got stuff to get to out of school. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. Good luck at the game. We'll look for a big Viking crowd over in Athens tomorrow night. A triple header with the freshmen getting underway at 5:00, followed by the JV and the varsity game. And like we said, Bob Grillo and Jeff Thacker will have the game locally. They do not stream, which is ridiculous. But nonetheless, that's not Bob and Jeff's fault.
No.
But for our local listeners, if you can't make it over there, tune in. They'll have all the call. Probably starting around, I'm guessing, 7:30-ish, probably somewhere so. Right then. So for Coach Matt Combs, Carl Knox saying, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next time on the Viking Round Ball Podcast.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Round Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Round Ball Podcast.